Are you ready to lift your life to another level? Your best days are ahead of you, and opportunity is knocking at your door daily. And your time for success in life is now. Welcome to the Ideal Life Podcast. Get ready to empower your dreams and take over your destiny. Now, here is your life coach, author, and motivational speaker, Shane Warren.
I want to encourage you tonight, get your Bible out, go to the last book in your Bible, the book of Revelation. Revelation. And do me a favor right now, if you'll silence your cell phone or just put them on vibrate, I would sure appreciate that. I'm an ADD preacher. I get distracted easy. And you trust me, you don't want me chasing squirrels. We'll be here all night chasing squirrels, all right? Revelation chapter 12. Turn over there with me. The next time, Sam, that you come, you got to sing. Bro, you got to sing. This is Sam Parsons. If you've ever heard the name Squire Parsons, that's his daddy. And this is Miss Leah. And this is Billy Joe and Rhonda's daughter. Can you believe that? I mean, that Billy Joe could have that pretty of a daughter. So anyway, and her precious husband. And man, y'all should have just, if I'd known y'all was coming tonight for sure, I'd have had you sing. All right. Next time you got to sing. I'd like to hear them sing. How many y'all like to hear them sing? I want to hear them sing. They can show enough tear it up. In fact, we were listening to CDs of you guys all the way back from Kentucky the other day. So I've heard every song, everything you've ever done. I've heard it. It was really good. Well, I told you tonight we were going to jump into the spirit realm. But all day long, starting this morning really early, the Lord just started doing something in my spirit and dropped a thought on me. I don't even have notes for my thought. I've got some scriptures written down right here, which I'll be glad to give you at the end of the service. But whenever the Lord starts doing this with me, I've kind of learned that it's usually something right now from God. And it's usually for somebody in the room. There are some times you preach and you preach to one person. And then there's other times that you preach and you preach to everybody. And then there's other times you preach to everybody and somebody. Tonight I'm preaching to everybody, but I'm also preaching to somebody in this room tonight. Tonight I want to talk about, if you're taking notes, and I would encourage you to take notes, I want to talk about the spirit of prophecy. The spirit of prophecy. And I want us to look at Revelation chapter 12, and this is going to be our launching off scripture. And we're going to go to a lot of passages of scripture tonight. Revelation chapter 12, verse number 10. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, "Now salvation and strength, the kingdom of our God and the power of Christ has come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down." Verse number 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time. I love that thought, that God has the devil on a leash. He can only go so far. Go back to verse 11. And they overcame him. And they overcame him. That they is us. Amen. I said that they is us. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of the testimony. Now, every message I've ever heard preached out of this passage always focuses on the blood of the Lamb. But this morning, I woke up with this scripture going over in my spirit. And the second part, they overcame by the word of their testimony. The word of their testimony. I want you to go with me to the book of 2 Peter. And we're going to develop a thought here for just a moment. And I'll just kind of walk into that thought. Go to 2 Peter. Look with me at verse number 1. 2 Peter, verse number 1. For those of you who are coming to hear me talk about angels and demons, come back next week. We'll jump into it if the Lord will let me. But you have to just let me do what the Lord wants me to do. I've learned that that's the only place the anointing is. And the anointing is what helps people. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 19 and 20. You know this passage very well. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed, is a light that shines in a dark places, a place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. Knowing that this verse, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy or for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. If you're taking notes tonight, I want you to write down point number one. I want to talk about for the few minutes the four realms of prophecy. The four realms of prophecy. Number one, the first dimension of prophecy, this thing we call prophecy, where God uses people to speak as the Spirit of God is speaking through people. The first dimension of prophecy is something that I'm going to call the word of prophecy, the word of God. The Bible says in 2 Peter 1:19 that the word of God is a more sure word of prophecy. Now, I thank God for the gift of prophecy. I really do. I thank God for people who have the gift of prophecy and they can share a prophetic insight with us. But let me tell you, the first dimension of prophecy is the word of God. It doesn't matter what anybody says to you. It doesn't matter what, even if they tag it, "Thus saith the Lord." It must line up with the more sure word of prophecy. See, the Bible says in Corinthians that there'll be a time that prophecies will fail. Sometimes prophecies fail. Did you know sometimes prophecy fail? Because sometimes they're the wrong thing. They're not a right prophecy. They can be a false prophecy. But did you know also prophecies fail because of a lack of obedience on the one hearing? Did you know God told the children of Israel, He prophesied to them and said, "You're going to go in and possess the land." But the Bible says they did not possess the land because of their disobedience. Right. So just because God says something over your life doesn't mean that it'll happen. And I want to tell you, we need to be careful when people prophesy over our life or release a "Thus saith the Lord" in our life, that we take it and we measure it against the Word of God. I believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I believe in the unction of the Spirit. Let me tell you something. I believe that the more sure, dependable word of prophecy is the Bible. And unfortunately, Christians know very little in this day about the Scriptures. We just don't sit around and study the Bible anymore. And we need to get back to studying the book. If we would get our face out of Facebook and get our face in God's book, God would do something in our life. We've got to know the Word of God. So in order to operate in prophetic realms, I want to submit to you the first thing you've got to get a good grasp of is the Word of God. The Word of God. You need to know what your Bible teaches. And what it says. And that's the reason that we're meeting together on Thursday night and jumping off into deeper things, because we want to know what the Bible actually teaches and says concerning our life. So the first realm or the first dimension of the prophetic is the sure word of prophecy, the word of God. The second dimension of the prophetic is the office of the prophet. The office of the prophet. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse number 11, in fact, I know you know these passages, but I still feel like the Lord wants us to look at them. So let's go over to the book of Ephesians, Galatians, Ephesians, and then go to chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4. And he himself, verse number 11, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the quickening of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith. So watch now. We have the word of prophecy, which is the word of God. But then we have the office of a prophet. I'm going to get myself in trouble. I can already feel it. I personally don't believe there are many prophets in the land. I know everybody's running around with the title prophet, but a title don't make you a prophet. Going to McDonald's don't make you a Happy Meal. Going to Taco Bell don't make you a burrito. And calling yourself a prophet don't make you a prophet. Right? Everybody look to your neighbor and say, "What's up, burrito?" Right? And I also want to submit something to you, that these aren't necessarily titles as much as they are functions in the body of Christ. And the Bible says Jesus gave gifts to men, to His church, to develop His church. And one of those gifts is the gift of a prophet. So one of the things we will have coming in here is we will have people that I believe are prophets who are going to come in. These are people that have been tested and proven, and I make a commitment to you. I will never have a prophet in here who doesn't live right, because if a prophet lives in unholiness and releases a word over your life, I don't even care if it's a right word. If he does it out of the wrong spirit, it will bring a curse, not a blessing. You don't want me to go through scripture and show you that. So I want you to understand that there is the office of a prophet. And I don't believe there's as many prophets running around as people are claiming to be prophets. Now, one of the ways you'll know that somebody has the office of a prophet is, first of all, they'll have an accuracy concerning what they share. Secondly, it will have national significance usually. Usually prophets shake up nations. They shake up towns. When Samuel comes to town, everybody discovers an anointing that we learned about a few weeks ago called the Heine Tight anointing. Because a real prophet comes to town, I promise you, you will draw up. The fear of the Lord will come upon your life when a real prophet comes around. In our church, when we were pastoring in Fayetteville, Tennessee, we had a prophet come to our church. This prophet began to move prophetically. It was so accurate and it was so demonstrative that fear, when I say fear, I'm talking about a holy fear, a holy reverence for God and His holiness came upon the church. And we had people that really, literally would not come to church when this prophet was there. And I would go to them and say, why are you want to come to church? They say, well, it's because I'm afraid. And I don't believe God's given me the spirit of fear. I said, no, the reason you're afraid is because now the fear of the Lord. Let me tell you something. The fear of the Lord can be terrifying. Especially if you're not living right. Y'all with me? So we have, first of all, the first dimension of the prophetic is the word of God. That's the first. The second dimension of the prophetic, come on, help me now. I've led worship, set up sound, give me a little bit of grace tonight. So the second dimension is the office of the prophet. Here's the third dimension. The third dimension is the gift of prophecy. The gift of prophecy. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm going somewhere with this. Just give me a little bit of time to lay a good foundation for us. The gift of prophecy. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're going to look here at verse 4. And we're going to read from there. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Diversities of ministries, but the same Lord. Diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestations of the Spirit is given to each one to profit all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning spirits, to another different kinds of tongues and the interpretation of the tongues. Notice here there is a gift of prophecy. Now, the gift of prophecy doesn't make you a prophet. The gift of prophecy is as the Spirit of God wills. And He's the seal of redemption. So the Holy Spirit can move as He wills and give you an unction to be able to speak as an oracle of God. And it can literally be God, the Holy Spirit, but He's God, right? God the Father, God the Son, Holy Spirit, they're all three, one and the same. God, the Holy Spirit, God can speak through you through the gift of prophecy. Now, the gift of prophecy, by and large, not completely, but by and large, is for the edification, exhortation of the body of Christ. So the gift of prophecy primarily is used in the setting with the body of Christ. Now, that's not to say that the spirit of prophecy can't come on you outside of a church service. It can. So I want to encourage you to begin to believe God, because this is for everybody as the Spirit wills. It's as the Spirit wills. And so here's what I believe happens. I believe somebody who yields themselves easily, maybe because they desire spiritual gifts, certain spiritual gifts, desires prophecy, they yield themselves to the gift of prophecy because that's the thing they desire the most. The gift of prophecy begins to work in them, and then they think that they are a prophet. But there is a far difference between the office of a prophet and the gift of prophecy that is coming as the Spirit wills, right? And there's some people who say, well, I'm used in the gift of prophecy more than anything else. Well, that might be the case. But the truth is, the reason you're used in one gift over other gifts is because you desire earnestly the best gift. To you, that has become the best gift. And your desire has put a demand on the anointing in that area of your life. And so, therefore, the Holy Spirit moves through that desire. I've always loved the word of knowledge. I've yet to operate in here yet. It to a real vast degree, but whenever the word of knowledge gets stirred up in me by the Spirit of God, you'll find out. God will start giving me very specific information. I mean, names, addresses, kids. I mean, it'll be very specific stuff. I cannot turn it on and turn it off. I have no control over it. So what happens is I go to a church and that gift of prophecy or the word of knowledge begins to flow, and then the pastor calls me, wants me to come back, and they expect me to flow in that same gift again. And I tell them all the time, I can't turn it on, I can't turn it off. And they say, well, you're a prophet. No, I'm not a prophet. I just had the gift of prophecy, the gifts of the Spirit working me. Now here's the good news. The gifts of the Spirit are for every believer. God wants you working in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, there's some in here who say, well, hold it, Pastor. The gifts of the Spirit passed away with the dying out of the last apostle, John, which is a theology we call cessationism. But that is not the case. In fact, I will, in a few weeks, we will look at the early church in the first 300 years of the early church. All of the early church fathers moved in the gifts of the Spirit, saw signs, wonders, and miracles, and documented it in their writings. And I will prove it to you with their writings that John the apostle, when he died, that it did not cut off the moving of the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you something. If the Holy Ghost stopped moving with the dying of John the Apostle, we're all in trouble right now in the last days, right? So, first dimension is the word of prophecy. Second dimension, I've never preached this in my life. I don't know why I'm preaching this. The second dimension is the office of a prophet. The third dimension is the gift of prophecy. Let me give you the fourth dimension. It's found in Revelation chapter 19. And this is the dimension we're going to talk about for just a moment, because everybody at will can work in this dimension. How many of you guys like to operate in the prophetic? I didn't say the pathetic. How many of you want to operate in the prophetic? Let me say it like this. How many of you would love God to start using you and speaking through you to impact people's lives, right? Of course. Well, here's the dimension all of us can operate in at will. Revelation chapter 19. Look with me at verse number 9. Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said to me, see that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus worshiping God. For now, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Here's the fourth dimension, the spirit of prophecy. So we have the word of prophecy. We have the office of a prophet. We have the gift of prophecy. But now we have the spirit of prophecy. Now notice what the Bible says. It makes a very interesting statement. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. In other words, when I testify about what Jesus did for me, I am operating or releasing the spirit of prophecy over people's lives that I'm sharing my testimony with. So yes, watch now, I have the word of prophecy. I might not be able to operate in the office of a prophet, and sometimes the Holy Spirit can use me in the gift of prophecy, but at any moment, at any time, the spirit of prophecy can be spoken through me to somebody's life by simply testifying of what Jesus did. I'm about to preach myself happy up here. Y'all don't know me yet. I don't need you to make me happy. I will preach myself. I'll amen myself. I'll clap for myself. I'll answer my own altar call. I'll lay hands on myself. I'll fall out on the floor myself. I'll catch myself. I'll pull the little covers up over my knees myself. And then I'll help myself right back up. I'm telling you right now, we need to get back to sharing with people what Jesus did for me. Come on, anybody in here had Jesus do anything for you? My goodness. Well, guess what? You've got the spirit of prophecy working you. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. The testimony of every time I get around somebody. I was at the coffee shop this yesterday morning, and I got in there, and there were some kids, and I've got to where I'm getting around these kids. I'm trying to get to know people. And so I pulled up a chair and said, "Hey, guys, you mind me sitting down with you?" No, no. So I'm new to the area. I haven't lived here for 30 years, and I'm hard up for friends. And right now, you're in a coffee shop, and you're a captive audience. So unless you get up and leave, I'm going to be your friend today. And I get to talk to them, and I start telling them about what Jesus has done in me and how the Lord's called me back. And next thing I know, someone start crying. Someone start, "What's going on?" Next thing I know, I'm praying with some of them. And you say, "What happened there?" Well, the spirit of prophecy began to be released in me as I gave them the testimony of what Jesus is doing in me. See, everybody wants to be a prophet. Everybody wants the gift of prophecy, but you can operate in the spirit of prophecy at any moment by simply sharing the testimony of Jesus in you. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, watch now, and by the word of their testimony. Oh, what happens whenever I start sharing my testimony? It moves me from a victim to a victor. Whenever I start sharing my testimony, the spirit of prophecy moves me from the tail and makes me the head. Whenever I start sharing my testimony, God takes me from under and starts putting me over. And I overcome him by the blood of the Lamb. Thank God for the blood. If it wasn't for the blood, we wouldn't be here. But there's another weapon you have, the spirit of prophecy, the testimony of Jesus in you, that every time you share Jesus, it not only gives them victory, but it also gives you victory. You overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony. I know where I'm going. I'm baiting you. You just don't know it. Can I show you a powerful scripture? It's found in the book of Numbers, chapter 11. Numbers, chapter 11. I love the Word of God. I really do. Numbers chapter 11. The people are crying out to Moses, "We want something good to eat. We want our cheeseburgers. We want some Domino's pizza. We're tired of eating what we're eating here. We want something good to eat." Moses goes up before God, and verse number 27, look at what happens. "And a young man ran and told Moses and said, 'Eldad and Medad.'" Now, I don't know who named them that. Please don't name your child Eldad and Medad. Medad. "A young man ran and told Moses and said, 'Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp.'" Now, they're not prophets. "So Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, one of his choice men, answered and said, 'Moses, my Lord, forbid them.'" Shut them down. Look at what Moses said. "Then Moses said, 'Are you zealous for my sake? Oh, that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit upon them.'" Do you know what the cry of Moses was? "I wish everybody could get in the presence of God like I'm in the presence of God. I wish everybody could come out of the presence of God and say, 'Thus saith the Lord,' like I have." Well, guess what? In Acts chapter 2, at the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, when it came upon the church, now the same spirit that was on Moses calling him to causing him to prophesy, and on Eldad and Medad, now that same spirit dwells on the inside of us. And we can release the power of that spirit through prophecy by simply sharing the testimony of what Jesus has done in us. Amen. We don't talk Jesus enough. We don't talk Jesus. We're scared. We're scared we're going to offend somebody. We're going to scare somebody off. You know, if you talk Jesus, they're going to think you're crazy. Let me tell you something. They're going to movie theaters watching vampires make out. You are not likely to scare them by talking about Jesus, right? Do you know why they're watching all this stuff, partaking all this stuff? Because they're hungry for the supernatural. They're hungry for the things of God. They just don't know where to find it. Well, guess what? You've got the answer on the inside of you. You got to start talking Jesus to everybody. And whenever you talk Jesus, the spirit of prophecy is released. So watch this now. The spirit of prophecy. What is prophecy? Prophecy is forthtelling. So whenever I share my testimony with somebody, it is forthtelling something that God is going to do something in them. Watch now. Whenever I share what Jesus has done for me, it releases something in the realm of the Spirit for Jesus to do something for them in the future. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. I see you're not getting it, so I'm going to just show you the Bible. Let's go to Luke chapter 6. Y'all ready to... What I'm about to show you, if this don't make you happy, I don't know what to do for you. Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. While you're turning over there, some of you are wondering where all of our young people are and our kids are. They're all in New Orleans right now. Several years ago, about 10 or 12 years ago, Pam and I, along with Chancellor George Noe, started a Bible college called SUM, started with 12 kids. That college now is one of the top-ranked accredited colleges in the nation, and I chair the board of that college. And so every year we have a conference down in New Orleans, and all of the sophomore and freshmen go down to New Orleans, and we show them the decadence of the world. We throw them to the lions to see if they got the goods or not. And we teach them down there how to minister to people who are bounding on their way to hell. And so they're down there right now. And there'll be about 1,500 young people and adults down there, about 1,500 down there, along with several hundred pastors. And right now, our school has about 50 campuses in the U.S. and has 26 campuses internationally. We've got campuses in like Pakistan, India, all over the world. And so that's where those kids are. Y'all need to be praying for them this week. Every year, we have about 1,000 people we lead to the Lord on Bourbon Street every year. So in the morning, Pam and I are flying to New Orleans. And we'll be joining them. All right, let's get back to Luke chapter 6. Sorry for the squirrel, but I had to tell you about it. Proud of them. Luke chapter 6, verse 17. And he came down with them, and he stood on a level place. Now, this is Jesus with a crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and from the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Look at me. If they came to hear him and to be healed, somebody must have already been saying Jesus was a healer. Because why would you expect to be healed if you haven't heard that he's a healer? So notice the Bible says they came to hear him and to be healed. So there was already an expectancy. Somebody had already been testifying. Right? Somebody had gotten healed, went and told somebody else what Jesus did for them, and it resulted in a whole multitude. Glory. Right outside Capernaum, standing in a valley, coming to hear and to be healed. This is the power of a testimony. As well as those who were tormented with unclean spirits, and they were healed. Verse 19, and the whole multitude sought to touch him, for power went out of him and healed them all. You see that? So here we got Jesus. And Kevin, there's a huge multitude of people that have already heard that Jesus is a healer. So they have made their way sick and tormented and diseased. And now they're in this valley. And here comes Jesus. And the Bible says as Jesus was walking by, they were just seeking to touch him, so that they could be healed of their diseases. And the Bible says he healed them all. Amen. He healed them all, right? Well, if you are diseased, let's say you're on a mat, you're crippled. You're on a mat, you can't walk, and Jesus is coming by. If you can't, how would you try to touch him? What part of him would you try to touch? right? His garment, his legs, his ankles, something. It would be something down low, right? So notice here we have this multitude. Somebody's already told them that Jesus is a healer. The testimony became the spirit of prophecy for somebody who was sick that moved them into a position. I'm trying to help you now. So they could be an overcomer. This is the spirit of prophecy. Move them into a position. Now they're sick. Jesus comes walking by and they're touching. Well, obviously somebody got touched because the Bible says all of them were healed. Jumps up and they went and run and told their friends. Now let me show you a crazy passage. It's just a few chapters over. Chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. Look at verse number 40. You guys know this passage well. So it was when Jesus returned that the multitude welcomed him. Now he's in Capernaum, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus. He was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to his house. For he had an only daughter, about 12 years of age. She was dying, but as he went, the multitudes were thronging him. Now a woman, having a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all of her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any, came from behind and touched the border of his garment. And immediately her flow of blood stopped. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" Right? We know this passage. But I want to show you something we overlook because we don't look at parallel passages. Go with me to the book of Mark chapter 5. It tells the same story from a little different perspective. Matthew, Mark, Luke. So we're going to go to the left here. Just reverse a little bit. Mark chapter 5. And look at verse number 24. So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. This is the same story from Mark's perspective. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years. Had suffered many things from many physicians. She spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus. Right. Come on, say that out loud with me. When she heard about Jesus. Well, I wonder how she heard. Somebody must have been telling her what Jesus had done for them, right? When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. Now, why did she want to touch his garment? The next verse tells you why. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in a crowd, touched the hem of his garment, for she said to herself, "If I may only but touch his clothes, I will be well." She said within herself, "If I can just touch his clothes, I'll be well." Where did she get this idea from? Well, because two chapters before, in Luke chapter 6, there was a whole multitude of sick people, and there was a bunch of them that couldn't get up off a mat. And when Jesus come by, somebody reached out and touched the hem of his garment, and the power of God came out of Jesus into their body, healed them. They jumped up off a mat and took off running through the pig trails. See, if you go to Israel with me sometime, you'll see this. Jesus was over by the Mount of Beatitudes, and then he was over by Capernaum. It wasn't that far. It's just a few miles. And so Jesus was now in Capernaum, his hometown, when he touched this woman with the issue of blood. So over here in the field, just a mile or two away, somebody touched the hem of his garment, jumped up, and took off running. And by the time they got to Capernaum, they met this woman. They knew her. They knew who she was. They knew she had been to physicians for 12 years and that she tried everything she could to get well, but she couldn't get well. She kept getting worse and worse and worse. And what did they do? They run up in the house and said, "Oh, Sally, you ain't going to believe this. Whew, what are you doing, Barbara? Last time I saw you, you couldn't walk. You running like a deer. What's wrong? What got into you?" "Well, I was over there down in the field. And I heard about Jesus. Somebody told me. I just heard it through the grapevine. There was a rumor going around. There's a man that's a healer. And so I had one of my buddies carry me down there, and they laid me in the field. Well, it just happened that Jesus walked by. Well, I couldn't touch his hands. But sister, you ain't going to believe this. Girl, you ain't going to believe this. I reached out and I touched the hem of his garment. Virtue come hit my body. Next thing I know, I jumped up, started dancing around. I haven't felt this good in years. And I just thought I'd come over here and tell you." Well, this woman said, "Well, You got to be kidding me." Watch now. The spirit of prophecy. the testimony of Jesus became the spirit of prophecy. One woman's healing became a prophecy for another woman who needed to be healed. Are y'all seeing what's happening here? This is the testimony. This is the spirit of prophecy, testifying about what Jesus did. So now this woman is back home, and she hears Jesus is getting off the boat coming into Capernaum. Children, y'all going to have to take care of the babies for a little bit. I got something I got to go do. Well, Mama, you got an issue of blood. You better not be out there in public. Well, I got to go see Jesus. And as she was on her way, she just thought, well, if I can but touch the hem of his garment. Why did she think that? Because she heard a testimony of somebody else touching the hem of his garment. She said, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, I'll get well just like they got well. See, the testimony became a spirit of prophecy for somebody else. Come on, folks, we got to start talking about Jesus, because that's the only way some people are going to get free. We all want to be prophets and have the gift of prophecy and all of this stuff, but we need to release the spirit of prophecy that's already on the inside of us. Well, let me show you what happened after this woman got healed. If you go over to Mark chapter 6, verse 53, Mark chapter 6, verse 53, look at this. And when they had crossed over, now Jesus had gotten a boat and he's left Capernaum and he's crossed over to the land of Gennesaret, and they anchored there. And when they came out of the boat, immediately the people recognized him. And they ran through that whole surrounding region, and they began to carry about on beds those who were sick to wherever they heard that he was. Wherever he entered into villages and cities or country, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that he might just touch the, same phrase. So now we got Jesus on his way to another place. He gets off the boat and everybody goes, oh my God, here's Jesus. Go get all the sick people. Bring them, put them on mats. Beds. So here they go, they come bring them out, and they line them up and down the street. Why did they do that? So that they might just but touch the... Where they got that idea from? I'll tell you where they got that idea from. It started back over there in the field. Some sick person touched the hem of Jesus' garment, run over into Capernaum, told a woman who'd been suffering with an issue of blood, if you can touch the hem of his garment, you can get well too. So she said within herself, if I may but touch the hem of his garment, I'll be well. She sure enough, she touched the hem of his garment. Virtue went out of him, healed her. Well, she left there. He went on to Jairus' house, but she jumped up from there. Do you know where she ran? She ran all the way over to Gennesaret. And she said, folks, I got to tell you something. I've heard Jesus is getting ready. His traveling ministry is itinerant. His website says he's coming here. Now somebody needs to be on the lookout, because whenever he gets off the boat, let me tell you what you got to do. You don't have to touch him, but if you get laid in the street, just can touch the hem of his garment. Let me tell you what happened when I touched the hem of his garment. See, the spirit of prophecy became the testimony of Jesus. Whenever I share what Jesus does for me, it releases a prophecy for somebody's future. You want to flow in the prophetic? Just start talking about Jesus. Just start telling people about what Jesus did for you. Now that's flowing in the prophetic. And then I'll promise you, as you talk about what Jesus did for you, guess what? The Holy Ghost, his job is to magnify Jesus. So the Holy Ghost on the inside of you all of a sudden is going to start working in the gift of prophecy. See, look, it's reversed the order. He's going to start working in the gift of prophecy. You got to start talking about Jesus. I wish to God all my people were prophets. Well, you are. The problem is we just don't talk about Jesus anymore. I'm going to ask you again. How many of you in here, Jesus has done something good for you? Well, tomorrow you need to go release the spirit of prophecy on your family. That's not what we do though, right? We spend all of our time talking about our issues, talking about our problems, talking about our junk, It's in our trunk, talking about our family struggles, talking about how we don't have enough money, talking about the failures that we did in the past, when in reality, if we just quit talking about that stuff, talking about Jesus, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And when we release that testimony, it becomes a prophecy for somebody else that helps them overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. The spirit of prophecy. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Now, I don't know why today this has been on my heart all day. I have no idea. I don't know who this is for. And evidently, I tell you what I think is going to happen. Somebody's going to walk out of here and you're going to get around somebody and you're going to release your testimony of what Jesus did for you. And a miracle is going to happen in that person's life as a result of it. All right? We got to start talking Jesus. What are we ashamed of? I don't know if y'all know this or not, but the liberals are talking about they're anti-Christ, anti-God, atheistic, agnostic program. They're not backing up on their belief systems. But we got the church cowering down, hiding over here in a corner somewhere, scared to talk about Jesus. Do you know what got the apostles killed? They talk about Jesus everywhere they went. And here's what I love. Peter and John have a man that's lame, gets healed in the temple. The religious come to Peter and John, arrest them, and says, "Now you don't ever talk about Jesus again. That's the devil. You don't talk about Jesus again." What did Peter and John say? They said, "Hey, we got to please God rather than you. We cannot but help but talk about Jesus and what he's done for us." Can I tell you something? I can't help but talk about the goodness of God and what he's done for me and how Jesus has helped me. Right? And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. So that's my message to you tonight. We're going to talk Jesus this week. Between now and next Thursday, I dare you to talk to people every day about Jesus. You say, "Wow, Pastor, that's a little bold." Come on. I'm not asking you to preach a sermon. I'm not asking you to have scripture memorized, even though you need to. I'm asking you to get around people and just simply say, "Let me tell you how I used to be. Let me tell you what my life used to look like. Let me tell you about how I messed up. But I found a Savior who loved me, who gave me mercy and grace, who restored me, who picked me up." Everybody loves a comeback story. Never let the devil tell you that when you fail that you're done, because everybody loves a comeback story. Everybody loves an underdog story. Everybody does. Come on. You tell them how you were an underdog and how Jesus moved you from the back of the line to the head of the line. How you had tried everything else in life to get yourself well and you couldn't get well, but one moment in the presence of Jesus turned your whole life around. You go to talking stuff like that, the spirit of prophecy gets released. And then you enable that person to overcome.
Thank you for joining us today for the Ideal Life Podcast. Make sure to subscribe and share this podcast with a friend. Until next time.